This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Nichols Family Lawyers. Family law advice for the LGBTI community you can trust. We have expertise in all areas of law relating to rainbow families, including surrogacy, sperm and egg donation agreements, adoption, co-parenting arrangements, and arrangements for children after separation. Mention Joy and receive a free 30-minute consultation. Find out more and get in touch at nicholslaw.com.au. Nichols Family Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
Good evening. Yes, it is Family Matters. This is Mama Mish, followed by beautiful Beck in the corner.
Stop it. I just had to run from stand up straight. I nearly tore a calf muscle.
You're again. Here? You're settled?
Again.
You're settled?
But I'm here. I'm good.
Okay, great. Okay. Dave.
My favorite hour of radio has arrived. Thursday night, 8 o'clock.
And you've been doing other work on top of this. You just come in fresh, unlike Beck.
Yeah. I'm ready on the starting blocks, and here I am.
Ready for the three votes.
I tell you right now, we have a massive show tonight.
Yes, we do.
Who have we got on?
Tonight, we're talking to two of my very favorite ladies who actually met back in the days of transpositions. We have two of the mothers who run the group Parents of Gender Diverse Children.
PGDC.
I've
rehearsed
house.
That. Mm. PGC in the house.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're lovely, Megan and Karen. They are lovely.
They are lovely.
They can hear us. That's what
I know
saying
they can.
Yeah.
They'll be out there laughing right now.
So tonight there is nothing holding us back, and that will be a segue into our next song.
Dave, that is a terrible, terrible
Bad.
Segue, my friend.
Bad.
You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. It's Family Matters on Joy 94.9, my favourite hour of radio, and we have some massive in reputation guests coming in from, sorry.
Where are you
going
with
this, Dave?
It's Karen and Megan from Parents of Gender Diverse Children, and we want you to get involved in the conversation. If you've got questions for them, please SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. You know my reputation. I love answering the phone. 1300 Joy 949.
Or send a carrier pigeon.
Yeah, we take that as well. And for all your social media people, Twitter, Family Matters 94, and the book, Facebook, / Family Matters
book.
On Joy.
I thought you meant like the Bible or something.
No, not quite. Beck?
Wow, that went deep quick.
It did go deep quick. Now, we do have the lovely Karen and Megan here from the group Parents of Gender Diverse Children, which I guess the name speaks for itself, really, doesn't it?
I would say so.
Yeah. And we're going to let them speak for themselves too, I think.
If they stop fighting over the microphone.
I know. They're like fighting little
children. No, Karen,
children
you can come close
here.
To me. You can come to me. You can speak at this thing together with me.
Hi, Michelle.
Okay, they're here, but...
Okay, ladies, I'm going to start from here. So we all know each other going back quite a big bit of time now here, but I have to go and talk to you as if I don't know you. So tell me a bit about your group.
It's my turn to talk.
It's your turn to talk, Karen. Come in.
We are a group of parents who exist to support other parents who have trans and gender diverse young people and children and older children, and whatever the age of their children, will support them and be there for them.
That pretty much sums it up.
Okay. Now, you both are parents of gender diverse children. So tell me what inspired you to actually start this group.
It all started last year when we wanted to have a voice to speak out when Safe Schools was being attacked a little bit. And we felt that if we joined together and got an official name, that we could speak from that platform and go out there and send letters and have a business card and do all those sorts of things. And it's just grown from there.
You just want to be more than just a mum.
I do. I really do. I was sick of staying at home with my children.
I'm really interested to, I guess, hear both of your stories and, for want of a better phrase, how you both came to be parents of gender diverse children. So, Megan, do you want to tell your story, I guess, as a mum in that space?
Yeah. So, I have 5 kids at home, only 4 at home. One's a grown up and moved out. Our journey sort of started when my third child was probably around 3. We sort of noticed that she was gender nonconforming. And, you know, we were not as supportive as what some parents can be. And we thought that we had to teach our child how to be a boy. So we spent probably about 5 years doing that.
What sort of things did you notice first off?
Her probably flipping across the lounge room as a mermaid was pretty in your face.
That was a sign, yeah.
The love of all things feminine, even down to the way she walked. She walked very, very feminine.
I mean, I don't know. Dave has his feminine moments. I mean, you know.
Nice pink shirt.
So where did you seek support initially? What was your reactions? Where did you go to try and find out what was happening?
The Royal Children's Hospital. Google became my friend, and all as I could find at the time was support groups in America.
Yep.
Reached out to them. They knew of some places in Victoria, so then I reached out to TGV. And they did say that the Royal Children's Hospital had a gender clinic. So I knew that they had a gender clinic there. So when the time came at around 8 years old, we went to there and we didn't do anything until we spoke to them.
Now, I know better because I've known you for some time. I know you weren't exactly immediately accepting up front.
No.
How did your mind change?
Education. So after looking and researching and finding as much information as I could, my view on what I had grown up to believe what trans was changed, because I spoke to the doctors as well and they explained to me that it wasn't that 1980s stereotype that I had believed in. And I also had this little 8-year-old kid in front of me that was just being herself. So it was really conflicting everything that I sort of knew to what was actually happening.
And what about yourself, Karen? Were you just accepting up in front or did you fight it as well? And what turned you around?
I parent by taking the path of least resistance. And in doing that, that has arisen because I have a child that forces your hand. You either fight very hard with that child or you just lay down and give it up. And basically, you know, this was her. And, you know, it came down to a bit of a discussion over shoes. And there was just put the shoes on. And she's like, I can't put the shoes on. And I'm like, put the shoes on, we're late. She's like, I can't. These are boy shoes. I'm not a boy. And I knew. What do you say to a 5-year-old that's saying, you know, these are boy shoes. I can't wear them. I'm not a boy. So that was it.
What do you say?
Can you wear the old shoes and we'll go and get you some new shoes?
Yeah.
I did not realize that she had been planning the shoes for a while and we ended up with $75 light-up shoes. I was thinking a $10 pair from Kmart, but
clearly if you're going to do it properly.
So just they were just light-up? Were they like My Little Pony? Were they? What were they?
Sketches. Just to drop the brand on air.
Can I ask another question of both of you? When you, I guess, started researching, like you said, Megan, did either of you have the words for what your child was going through? No. Did you know what you were looking for?
No. So I kept typing in little boy who likes girls things or little boy who thinks that they are a girl or acts like a girl. And I started seeing some pretty confronting sort of words come at me. Some of them were really scary, like self-harm, suicide, and I just freaked out. So I actually joined a group in America and then panicked once I was in. I read a whole heap of information and went, I can't do this. And left the group for about 6 months and then went back again.
We're going to have more questions to ask Karen and Megan from Parents of Gender Diverse straight after this. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
It is Family Matters and we're joined by our great guests from Parents of Gender Diverse Children, Karen and Megan.
Now, there's so many things I want to ask you, ladies, but one of the things, I guess, as a non-queer person that I'm often confronting at Joy and when I'm talking to people is the use of language. And I get very, I guess, nervous and almost paranoid about using the wrong language for people and how they identify. I guess there's two questions. One is about the language you use with your children and you know, now and before. And the other one is about, I guess, people discussing gender diverse children and that language and what we should say and how to educate people about that.
It's a tough one. I even now still do it. I still use the wrong pronoun. It's just, for me, it's about acknowledging that my daughter is my daughter. And I refer to her as she, but I also refer to her as she when she was a baby, mm-hmm. even though at the time we did refer to her as a boy and she had been assigned male at birth. But now I think some of that is, it just makes it easier for me. My old head can't get around, you know, shifting between the two. So I find it myself easier. And I think it's, my daughter's still young, so she hasn't communicated that, but I think it's respectful for her just to pretty much always refer to her as a girl and just keep going with that.
Yeah, what about the children's siblings? How do you go about educating them as well?
For me, like what Karen just said, we actually refer back to as she until even from the moment she was born. And for me, that is because she has actually evolved into just the one person now. So to actually think back of her with a different name actually seems odd now. So siblings is actually quite good. I found in my family, my children followed the lead from me. So if I was okay with it, they were okay with it. If they trusted my judgment on the entire thing to educate them and stuff like that. Like, we've had to change our language in our home slightly because I've got a 3-year-old and, you know, I can't teach him that, you know.
She's going to do it.
You know, you can't say to him that boys have penises, girls have vaginas.
Yeah.
You can't do it. And because in our house that's just not the way it works. So we're teaching him that he needs to just look at the person, see how they're presenting, and if in doubt, ask. And so that's what he does. At 3, it took him a day to figure that out.
And it's that, some adults that could
And that education thing. Will have to go to your wider family, wider
well,
community
yeah,
as well.
He had his speech pathologist come over and start to teach him gendered things, and I was like, hold up, we don't do that in this house. And she's like, why? And I explained to her the reason why, and she said, oh, I'll actually take that on board because she actually does deal with a lot of autistic kids, and with autism there is a 40% higher chance that you can actually be trans as well. So she took that on board to not actually start gendering things in her workspace.
What about, so your daughter's of school age, is yours daughter as well, Karen?
Yeah, she's in grade 2.
Yeah. How does that work with their friends at school, or are they just like their friends are just their girls and that's...
Okay, so I found a love letter to Evie the other day, which is my favourite love letter, and it's to Evie. Sorry I couldn't tell you this yesterday. I was so shy. I just want you to know that I love you for who you are, not what gender you are. Love, Corey. And I was just like, Corey, you're a little legend. So, yeah, kids just don't care. They just see what they see, and if she presents as a girl, that's all they see. And even with the non-binary kids as well, you often find and we often hear that the children in the classroom are correcting the teachers when they stuff up and saying, it's not he, it's not she, it's they. And kids just pick it up.
I found kids, like even with my kids, when it came to gender stuff, and they've had a friend come over and the two kids are bouncing a trampoline and she goes, is that was your aunt? She goes, no, that's my dad. And she goes, your dad's wearing women's clothing. And she goes, no, my dad wasn't feeling right. She took some medicine. Now she feels better. And now she's a woman. Oh, and they go back to bouncing on the trampoline. Kids get it. So what was What was the tipping point that made you decide to start PGDC? Was there not enough support that you found or the right support that you needed in Australia?
It was a lot of things. There was that initial push to have a voice and have a collective voice. So we, and an activist kind of a voice. And then once we did that and went through that process, we then started getting involved with other things. We started speaking at like professional groups, speaking to people that worked in kindergartens, and we realised that there was a space there for us as parents to get out and advocate and educate. And also we found that we could support other parents and that the model of peer support was really strong and was a really successful way to bring other parents together and build relationships. And so that's really where we went with it.
Now, we're talking to Karen and Megan from Parents of Gender Diverse Children. Please text in your questions on 0427JOY949. Now, your work with PGDC, what has been some of the response in the... Is it been 12 months? Is that right?
Just over 12 months.
What's some of the response? Is it people popping up out of nowhere and asking for support?
Oh, yeah. We get between 5 and it's now recently between 5 and 10 new referrals from parents themselves a week.
Wow.
Sorry, what was the number?
5 to 10.
5 to 10. Wow.
It's a minimum 5 families that we speak to a week.
And that's nationally, state-based?
Yeah, it's nationally. So
wow.
It's becoming really busy. And, you know, Karen and I have, you know, this actually has become a job now.
Yep.
And,
so do you think like you, Megan, when you were saying that the first thing you found was that chat group or whatever in America and it was quite confronting, is it important to you that there's probably parents who you're their first port of call to make it not scary for them?
It's really important. And I think that's something that we both have, both Karen and I have things that we're really good at speaking to people. And, you know, Karen's really amazing at speaking to the parent who just cannot for the life of them cut off that little boy's hair or can't get rid of those clothes. And she just has this amazing knack of being able to turn them around and speak to them and let them know that, you know, they're not alone and that this is a really difficult step, but it's okay. And, you know, sometimes we just answer, as soon as we answer the phone, they just burst into tears and say, oh my God, I'm so happy just to speak to someone who gets it. And in the beginning, that is really important, just to know that you're not the only one out there. So,
and I guess they may not feel comfortable talking to their own family or friends yet.
Oh, no. See, I've all my family and friends are super supportive, but I do not talk to them about anything to do. They have no idea what I do for a job. They just think I go and work in the city.
Mm.
They don't get it. So
for personally, for you two yourselves, how good is it being out there and helping other people? Is that surely when you go to sleep at night, that must make you feel really good?
It does. It's amazing.
And
it
I'm really assuming is. That you guys would have loved to have that support back in the early days with the when it was happening.
So. Yeah, I think, look, there was groups out there,
yeah,
and but they were small, and I think some of them have come and gone. So we have, to a certain extent, picked up where some of the other ones left off and continued, you know, the amazing work that they did.
Yeah.
But now where we are with, you know, we do a lot of presentations. We talk to a lot of people. Mm. We talk to people who work with kids and who work with families. And it's amazing to know that every time we do one of these talks, we get some feedback. And it's like, you know, I can take this back to work. And
Last night, we did a presentation and it was a 20 to 30 minute talk. And 2 hours later, we were still talking. They wouldn't go. And they said to us, you know, we could talk to you all night.
It kind of seems like a topic that needs just a hug. It needs just a coffee. It needs a chat. It's not something that you just give a manual to and
go and solve
it.
So what are some of the common questions that people are coming to you with?
Wow, that's a really hard one.
What we will do, we'll give you a bit of time. You can answer it straight after. You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David and Beck. Joy 94.9.
Family Matters, and the combination tonight is Beck, Dave and Mama Mish.
Probably the best combination. I say that every week.
You say that every week. Karen and Megan are joining us from Parents of Gender Diverse Children. And if you've got a question for them, text in on 0427JOY949 or you can email us on air at joy.org.au.
Now, until Dave... I'm just rudely interrupted us. I asked, what were some of the common questions that parents come to you about with when their kids come out?
When the kids come out?
Or, oh. Yeah, or just whatever, when they just ask what parents come to you about.
They want to know what to do. That's a big one. What do we do? How do we handle this? How do we not make mistakes? They want to know
that they're
what's
doing
going
the
to
right
happen
thing
in the future, that they're doing the right thing. They often, you know, just us saying, hey, you're doing a great thing just by reaching out. I mean, that's a really good step for parents to take. And they want to know, you know, where they need to move forward, how they can move forward. You know, what steps should they take? What, you know, things do they need to think about? I mean, being a parent is very different to being, you know, say a trans person. When you're a parent, you're thinking of all sorts of things, the relationship with your child, the relationships in your family, school, you know, your extended family. Like there's 150 million things that parents are thinking about. So they have questions that just go all over that.
Now, you have had an amazing almost first year now launching this PGDC. Where do you see the next year going, or where do you see things going with this organization?
I think if what's happening at the moment is anything to go by, we're going to get busier and busier. I hope that we'll continue to support as many parents as we can. We currently get maybe 5 to 10 new families come through each week. That's Australia-wide. We hopefully will continue to do the talks that we do to professional groups. And I hope that we will just continue to get the work out there so that when parents and the young people and kids and whatever trans and gender diverse people that are kids of somebody, you know, are seeking help and seeking pathways and answers, that they won't have to advocate for themselves because we've been there first to do that for them.
And speaking of that, with the education and stuff, with all the issues with safe schools, how do you see that the children do need to be educated in the school level to I guess, help when other students are coming out or in teachers coming out in the school? How do you see that should happen?
Look, it's a good point because I think it's almost a society-wide thing, you know. People have attitudes and stereotypes and, you know, ways of thinking that could benefit from being changed. And some of the work we do is changing that. The work that you guys do on radio changes that. And every trans person, every parent, everybody who's out there talking about this and raising awareness is starting to make the changes so that it's not a surprise anymore. It's not a big deal. It's just nothing.
Trying to create this new way of thinking, is it linking up with such like other associations who are also trying to fight the good fight, like our lovely Joe Hurst,
yes,
part of our family as well?
Joe from Germana.
Yeah, Joe. Don't say that on air.
love Joe from Germana.
Also proud to play as well. How important is it linking up with people like that in the same sort of community that are also out there fighting the good fight?
It's massively important because being able to work collaboratively and being able to share resources, being able to not have to reinvent the wheel every time we want to do something is amazing. And the people who are out there doing this work in one form or another have just been so amazing to us, and we try and pay that forward when new people come up and have new ideas and have new, you know, things that they want to work on, and it makes a huge difference. And I think every little, you know, drop in the ocean is making a difference. And, you know, we're all, yes, it probably started off as a small puddle, but as we go, it just, you know, it's getting bigger and bigger, and it is making changes. You know, we speak to people and, you know, they say to us, I'm going to take away this information and I'm going to, you know, tell all the people I know. And so we know that every time we do it, it's making a difference. And so to know that there are so many other groups doing that as well, it just warms my heart. It really does.
And hello to James from Proud to Play as well.
Hey, James.
Yeah.
With everything's been quite positive as it seems. You've blossomed, you've grown, you've overcome some great challenges. What have been some of the biggest challenges or some of the biggest pushbacks that you've had to deal with?
Look, there have been some. We are straight, middle-class, white mums.
Don't talk yourself down.
But you know, it has. We have had some, you know, struggles to gain acceptance, quite rightly. I mean, you know, we aren't trans people. We can't speak for trans people.
Oh, but I accept you, Karen. I love you. You know, I'll keep you around.
Thank you. But I think that we've worked hard to show that our heart is in the right place, and that we are trying to do something that is valid, and trying to you know, help in a way that we can. And I think the longer that we've stuck around, the longer that we've continued to stick our noses in everybody's business, you know, we have gained some respect, and it's been nice to see it all pay off and to start being included in the greater body of work that's happening.
You guys are amazing, and we know Jo Hurst, obviously, and we see all these mums who are doing this great advocacy work. Where are the dads?
They are there.
Yeah. Is it? Do you think it's just a mum thing, a woman thing, or?
I started thinking about this today, and I actually went through like all the most recent TV programs that have been out with families of trans children on there. In every program, the dad was in there and talking. So they do exist.
Every month we have a catch up. And we usually get about 20 families, and almost every family that has a dad or two dads, the dad will come with them. I think in the advocacy space, you know, sometimes you see lots of mums. I think that sometimes a lot of stuff, especially with trans kids, there's some fairly practical concerns, and sometimes it just, you know, it just is mums that do some of that stuff. And you know, but I don't think there's a lack of dads, and I think dads are having a lot of conversations in the background.
Yeah,
and they're doing things maybe that aren't as visible, but they're still doing it. They're still talking. They're still, you know, changing people's perception by just being confident and, you know, courageous about their kids and just talking about it. And that makes a change. You know, it makes a real difference.
Well, I'd like to give a shout out to the dads of gender diverse children who are listening today. They can have it.
You're not trying to chat them up, are you, Beck?
Are they hot dads?
Plenty of hot dads.
Okay, good, good. Now, speaking of where I might find those hot dads, you mentioned you have catch-ups. Is that one of your big things is getting the families together?
Yeah, we find it really, really important, not only for the parents but also for the gender-diverse youth that attend, but we also open it for the siblings as well. So, you know, it's a whole family approach. Twice a year at Easter and Christmas, we also open it for grandparents to attend so that they can connect with other grandparents. But what we find is that within the space that we create, without the children even realizing, is they're actually creating their own peer support networks around them. So we hope that that will follow them through, and that when they're older, they will actually, you know, they will know that they've got someone there who they can talk to, you know, that they may have met 20 times at a catch-up, but they're just people there who they can sit down, debrief with, and once a month the kids do. They sit down all in a circle and they debrief, and the stuff that they talk about is, it's stuff you can't talk to your friends at school about.
Mm.
You know, I've walked past before and they're all discussing their old names.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's like, and they're excited because one of them had the same old name as the other, and that was really cool. So they were able to connect on that sort of level, and that's stuff that their peers at school cannot even remotely understand.
Mm. And I'd have to say from my point of view as well, what I've discovered as an adult in the spaces I am of the things I do, I think that's really healthy that the kids are comfortable with that, with what they were named, what their new name is and everything as well.
It's actually one of the things a lot of parents will say to us when they come is that my kid wants to meet another trans kid. And then the parents will come along and sort of, you know, motion for us to tell them, okay, well, which kid should I introduce? And I just look at all the kids and go, well, I don't know. I can't remember what is the gender diverse. They'll find somebody. You know, we send them out to the big group of kids and they all kind of work it out.
Yeah, it's really great because there is siblings that are there and you really don't know. But what's good with my kids, and I know my kids have taken this home and they've said to me that it's good for them because they know that they're not the only siblings in this, so that they are meeting other siblings with the same sort of background as well, and they're able to realise that they're not alone either.
Well, I know the early bit of a background of how I have met you guys was myself as a trans woman having children that were young. I am disconnected in some ways from different communities. So I have struggled connecting with some of the other adults of the community because they don't have children. Or I struggle connecting with some of the other parent groups that aren't LGBT because I'm a trans parent. And so coming to yourself being the complete opposite as a trans parent with cisgendered, hetero, non-hetero, whatever that is. And seeing my kids and all of our kids playing, you actually couldn't tell who was trans or not trans or whatever. It was just a bunch of kids just enjoying themselves playing in a park.
Yeah.
And I think as well, for a lot of kids, especially primary school age, they may be the only kid at their school who is trans or gender diverse, and it isn't easy for them to identify other kids, and they're not connected on social media in the same way that teenagers are. So it is really important. We all believe that it's really important for us to help them build that peer group that they may not otherwise be able to build. And even if they don't realize that that's what's happening, you know, it is, we believe it's really valuable for them.
Because I imagine some of those kids feel like they're the only kid that was born like this or feels like this. And I imagine even the parents probably feel like they're the only parent. So definitely. I can only imagine how comforting it is to have that connection.
It is.
Well, they're doing a great job at Parents of Gender Diverse Children, Karen and Megan. More just after this. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on Joy 94.9.
It is Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Search for Family Matters on iTunes and just track back and listen to them all, I guess.
Or that's your whole weekend. I could sing there. Katy Perry for everyone.
Exactly. We are joined here by Karen and Megan of Parents of Gender Diverse Children. Now, I'm assuming heading into schools, primary schools, kindergartens, high schools, I'm assuming that teachers need to be briefed on these or they need education. Where are we lacking in that area?
Safe schools, obviously, as we all know, recently went into the department. So there is a new team that is helping with primary schools, high schools, and special schools. They are very new in this, so they're still learning as well. From everything that we can, you know, say is that they're doing the best that they can actually do, but it's not going to be the same as the old team. And
it would help that your parents who are well-educated in what you do and you can work with them along the way to help deliver this message as well.
Exactly. We have a great relationship and we have been able to talk to them and to interact with them, and that's been really positive. And we know that, you know, they have a really clear brief and a really clear mandate, and, you know, we're confident that they're going to do great. So, you know, we just do what we need to do to
and
support
with
our parents.
That what you're doing, what you're pushing out, what are you finding is you need to educate mostly on in the schools?
I think the question we get asked most when it comes to professionals, so either kindergarten teachers or people that, you know, work with families, that sort of thing, is how do we have the hard conversations? You know, when we have an irate parent or a concerned parent or a, you know, whatever, who says, you're not teaching this stuff to our kids, are you? You know, that they can say, you know what? We're a service, we're a school, we're an environment that values diversity. We affirm all our students in their choices and we look after and meet the needs of all of our kids, whatever those needs are, if it's their linguistic requirements, if it's their abilities, if it's their, you know, whatever the diversity is, we meet that need and we foster it as best we can.
And we support it.
Yeah. And we support it.
So obviously parents of gender diverse children understand it. They get it. They support it. They're out there fighting. There's a good chunk of the community that don't have any gender diverse children, but it doesn't mean that they're not supporting it.
Yes.
So there is a huge network out there that is supporting, cheering on.
Yes.
Out there that are all for it. You know, they've got no issues with it.
Yes.
How important is it for your organisation to try and get those people on board?
It's hugely important. It's capturing that group and capitalizing on their It's almost like casual support. It's, you know, yeah, that's fine. We're with it. And that's really useful. And I think some of the talking that we do, some of the presentations that we do, you know, kind of picks up on that. And the feedback we get is, hey, I've got more confidence now. I feel more able to just, you know, step in if something needs to be said, to be able to, you know, have those conversations. And that's really valuable.
So if there was, say, parents who are not LGBT and they have children that aren't gender diverse that need support, how can they become a better ally? What sources can they find that they can actually help and talk with their kids about?
We're about to launch a website in the next week or two, and we will have a section on that website for allies and for people who are interested in doing this sort of thing and being able to, you know what, I agree with this. I actually think that this is just a basic fundamental part of being human. And, you know, I want to feel a bit more confident about having these conversations. And so come on down to www.pgdc.org.au when our website launches, because at the moment it's a little bit sad, but when it does launch in the next couple of weeks,
will it be happy?
It'll be very happy, and it'll be all soft and squishy and gorgeous, and come on down and you can you know, potentially learn something.
Because I imagine the website's a really important thing, because a lot of parents, I guess, initially maybe want to be anonymous, or they don't want to have to go and talk to a doctor or a counsellor. So I think probably, am I right, that having that web presence is really important?
Very, very important. And
now, it's probably taken us nearly a year to get it right. Yeah. And we're still working even down to the very last minute on how to get this up and perfect, because the information that we needed to know, we want people to also have at in front of them instead of having to wait for responses. But we also wanted them to be able to reach out as well and have a landing place, a soft landing place where they can find some information and actually then reach out to us without fear that of what's, you know, the unknown.
Mm. Now, your work with PGDC has become full-time. In the recent months,
or
pretty close to it, or you're probably working probably more than 38 hours basically on it.
It would be, yeah.
Do you realise how much greatness are you doing in the community? Like, do you? I know it comes natural because you've got children and you're fighting the good fight, but does it sink in that you're actually doing like heroic stuff?
Oh, well, I wouldn't go that far, but it does. Look, we get to do some really fun things. We get to come on the radio. We get to go to some, you know,
Government house.
And we get, there are rewards in it for us. Apart from, you know, we do get to see that we're making changes. We do get to see that we're achieving something. So there are some quite tangible things that we get, but then, you know, there's some fun stuff and it really does pay off. And we are volunteers and we know that. And part of being volunteers means that we don't have a boss. So if we don't want to come to work on Thursday or Friday, then we can stay home. And, you know, that is something in itself. So, you know, there's lots of good stuff about what we do.
Speaking of some of that fun, good stuff, Megan, you're a bit like Kris Jenner because you're a celebrity mum now. I want to know about your daughter's recent celebrity moment.
I'm not sure which one.
The one with the model.
Yeah, the one with the model. Which one? Wow.
It's Andrea.
Yeah, last year we did a TV program, Inside Story, and the producer on there had done a previous show with Andrea Pejic, who's a transgender model, and she contacted her and said, set up a Skype interview with Evie and her, which was really exciting.
Wow.
Evie has done modeling since she was probably about six. It was something that she loved and we continued even after transition. When she had spoke to her, it was really cool and all that. And afterwards, her mum seen the show and actually we managed to come across each other on Facebook. So I've been friends with her mum since. And I knew that she was in Melbourne and because I'm friends with Dradanka. And I just reached out and said, does Andrea actually want to meet Evie? Because I know Evie would really love to meet her. And she's like, yes, absolutely. So we arranged it and there was no way I was telling Evie. I thought this is just going to be perfect to film. And her response, and it was, it couldn't have gone any better. And we had dinner together and hung out and that was really cool. And yeah.
What an amazing moment for
Evie. It was pretty amazing.
And then Evie became a model in a pretty big event herself.
So just after that, Evie was the first transgender child to walk on an international catwalk.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
That's amazing, some of the stories and where things are going with you guys. I want to, and it's unfortunately near the end of the show, so I want to thank you both for coming in and sharing your story, telling us about the organization itself. If anybody wants to reach out to you, how can they contact you?
Either our Facebook page, Twitter, or even Instagram. We have an email address, info@pgdc.org.au.
Thank you so much.
And the new website soon.
Yes.
And the new website,
and
yes.
And we'll put that on the Family Matters page when that's all ready to go.
Yep, massive thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Aren't they great fun, Beck?
I do like them.
It is Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Well, this has been Family Matters. If you have missed tonight's show, which every one of our shows is absolutely amazing, you can get us on iTunes. You can search on podcasts for Family Matters. You can also get us on joy.org.au/Family Matters as well. Find up all of our shows from the past as well.
I just love your American twang.
Do you like that?
iTunes.
Find us on iTunes.
Makes it sound cool.
Go and find us on Flamin' iTunes, I guess.
Yes.
Woodrop next.
Yes.
Beck, this is your favourite time of your evening. What have you got?
You ready?
Drum roll, please.
Woof. Grampians are a really good place to go camping.
Didn't you say that last week?
No.
I don't know. Woof. Good night.
Family Matters, brought to you by Joy sponsor, Nichols Family Lawyers. Family law advice for the LGBTI community you can trust. NicholsLaw.com.au.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.